Hello, I'm Rabbi Iggy, and welcome to Tattoos and Torah. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tattoos and Torah. In fact, welcome to the season finale of Tattoos and Torah. We're going to take a little break for the summer. So you have, with this one, 47 episodes for this last season. We're going to come back in the fall for our next season, back in September. But for now, we're going to take a little break. So welcome to the season finale of Tattoos and Torah. So, of course, I was thinking today about talking, how do we say goodbye? How do we stay connected in absence? How do we transition? In our traditions, when we finish something, when we transition, we need to acknowledge it and make meaning of it. We have a traditional prayer for this, part of the Siyum, and I'll get to that. Siyum in Hebrew means to complete, to finish something. Completion is what we use the word siyum for. And it's used in all sorts of different ways to make sure that sort of we go through what we need to go through. It's used in all sorts of different ways to allow us to understand where we are and what we want to achieve from this, but also to mark the transition. And that's really important, because when we need to move from one space to another, from one thought space to another, from one place to another physically, all the different transition, all the different things that we do, life transitions, and there's a lot of different ones, of course. We have transitions from one status to the other, right? From having kids to be an empty nester, from being single to be married, from being married to being divorced. There's different ways to think about those transitions. Sometimes we move from one place to another, school, whatever it is. We have to mark it. And we have to think about how to do this. And we do this through ritual, and we'll talk a little bit about this, but we have to consider what the benefits and what the perils are, what the challenges are, what are the opportunities for us are as we look into those transitions. So a typical structure of a siyum, at least in Jewish events, is in the conclusion of a study, right? Sort of like Torah, or tattoos and Torah in this case. We read something called the Hadran text. Hadran means encore, come back, which again, we'll talk about in a few. Sometimes a Kaddish and a celebratory meal. So I can't offer the meal, but I would say the sort of that I'm going to have one. And I invite you to have ones in your respective places. The custom of making the siyum of this transition is mentioned in the Talmud. It's very old for us, where Abaye says, "Grant me my reward, for when I see a young Torah scholar who has completed a tractate, I make a celebration for the rabbis." So we know about this particular siyum for what we do for quite some time. In marking these transitions, when we find a ritual, when we are able to stop thinking about those things, we get to actively deposit spiritual currency into a spiritual bank account. It is a moment for us that we can actually take advantage of some of the things we're going through, right? Because periods of transitions are great opportunities for growth. They are opportunities to reflect, to take action, of course, and to create a practice. Transitions are often a chance to better understand ourselves, how to let go, allowing positive detachment, fostering self-honesty, and also, of course, awareness, and as always, taking action, being able to sort of take some sovereignty from it. We are not always taught how to recognize or deal with transition in life, with life changes, like I said, sort of like work, school, status, family. When we think about people who perhaps are not coping well with change, we can observe behaviors and patterns and what they tell us, whether it is within ourselves or others. And I want to look at this, right? So like there's moments we can say, hey, I need to look at what's happening. Maybe I need some help. Maybe I need to stop and consider how do I respond to this rather than just react. This can be a very difficult time, of course, for people in recovery. It triggers a lot. Change triggers a lot, the fears. So asking myself, how am I feeling? Maybe I'm feeling like I can't cope. Overwhelmed, either with a specific problem or task or just in general, feeling severe pressure, really being under pressure, feeling lost or unsure of oneself, feeling exhausted. So those are sort of some clues that sort of something is going on, of course. And some people, of course, will say, well, I feel like that all the time. Well, sometimes we live in a state of transition. It's not always very fast or sharp. Sometimes we're in it for a little while. And that's in many ways what the world is experiencing right now. I know sometimes I'm experiencing it, sort of that transitioning out of pandemic or, you know, whatever it is that's sort of going on in the world at the moment feels a lot like that. And that is a kind of transition. So, like I said, I'll talk about Siyum in a bit, but I want to consider a few things as we approach transitions and change and say goodbye and all that, which is... first, sort of, we have to approach it with an open mind, with curiosity, allowing ourselves to really ask ourselves, I wonder what will happen, right? I wonder what will happen is a really open way to sort of engage with what's in front of me. You're even sort of, quote unquote, allowed to sort of ask, well, what's the worst that can happen? So I want you to take out some paper and a pen or writing utensil and write what you are scared of. That is sort of like the page can suffer anything. And it's a great tool for us to sort of let our minds sort of see that we can put it on the paper and the paper can hold it. We don't have to ruminate over it all the time. It's a great tool for that. We get scared, of course, of change because we are afraid of the unknown. So the first thing to do is think about possibilities and scenarios, right? Imagine all the different possibilities, outcome, then decide what would be the best and the worst case scenarios. Prepare as much as you can, but be open to change. It's never what you think it's going to be. You can't control much, and we have to be ready for that. So try and understand your role and how much you can control and how much you can't, which is most of it. Of course, making a to-do list and check each item as sort of we complete it. Getting organized is part of the tools that we can use with what's in front of us. And if you're not a list person, I highly recommend that you start because your brain can't hold it. And also, when you actually do put it on paper and the brain doesn't need to hold it, it can take a breath. When things don't go your way, and they won't, try taking a reflective approach. Accepting that there are things that are beyond your control, right? So like in recovery, we often turn to the serenity prayer, right? So like the ability to change the things that we cannot accept and the things that we cannot change. But of course, the wisdom to know the difference is very, very important. Change is always an opportunity to learn and to grow. And it's important for us, for people who are seeking a life of meaning, to not see it as a setback, but to see it as an opportunity to sort of say, what did I learn from it? As always, gratitude and finding positives are important, even though it can be a tough ask. Sometimes it's very difficult to try and see the positive because it can be really devastating or sad or just sort of like annoying or things that we just don't want to do and we either forced to or we know that we should, but in the moment it doesn't feel great. And there's a space for that as well, to lick your wounds and say like, oh, this sucks. But try focusing on some positive that you can learn from it, things that sort of you can sort of see. Go back to the why. Why am I doing this? Or why is this forced on me? Or how can I turn this into a positive? Is it possible? It's not always possible. But if it is, it is up to us to sort of to think about that through that lens, right? Sort of don't force it. But find out what you can learn, right? Even if you can learn one single lesson from it, it's one takeaway. And think about those takeaways that you can take from whatever it is. Check in a lot. Manage your stress, right? Check in often on how you're coping, feeling. make sure that the stress that you have has in fact room in your life, right? Try and understand it, right? It's natural to have stress, and that's okay. Improving your ability to handle stress will go a long way to helping you deal with change. Alleviating stress can be part of the actions you take, of course, breathing, ritual, mindfulness, meditation, and other sort of like relaxation techniques that sort of you can use. And depends on each person. We've talked about this before. And what are the things that sort of inspire you and make you sort of feel better about yourself? Of course, community. You're not alone. There are plenty of people who would love to help you, people who love you and would relish the chance to really help you and be of service to you. That means that sort of you have to connect. You can't isolate, right? You don't have to do this alone, but you have to tell people. You have to be able to also ask for help. It's perfectly normal to feel overwhelmed if the change that you're facing is really big, or there's too much change happening all at once. There is this is, you know, a good time to ask and seek the support of your friends, your family of understanding, your biological family, your friends, your spiritual counselor, whoever it is, right? So like the community around this. We've all been there. If we allow ourselves to share our vulnerability, we get stronger. It is when we isolate and pretend everything's okay that sort of we are really harming ourselves and the community. So in Judaism, like I said, so like as we're looking into sort of this last episode, the Hadran, this sort of upon completing a book, a tractate, there's a few different things that we do. And first, we say a prayer. In tradition, we say it three times, although I will also need once, right? Which is Hadran Alech. We will return to you, Tattoos and Torah, and you will return to us. Our thoughts are about you, and your thoughts are about us. We will not forget you, and you will not forget us. Not in this world, and not in the world to come. Right? So like there's always a thing that we are going to be able to do and come back to. Then there is a very interesting thing. It might be an incantation. I think it's sort of a way for us to sort of to make sure that sort of we loosen our tongue and our ability to sort of to find meaning in something that might sound nonsensical. But here it is. May it be your will, God, our God and God of our ancestors, that your Torah be our occupation in this world and will remain with us in the world to come. Chanina bar Papa, Rami bar Papa, Nachman bar Papa, Achai bar Papa, Abamari bar Papa, Rafram bar Papa, Rachish bar Papa, Suchav bar Papa, Ada bar Papa, Dru bar Papa. So this sort of like tongue twisting element to create a certain space that is unknown, nonsensical, perhaps a lineage of rabbis that were important for the people who composed this prayer to know that sort of everything has a lineage, everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it all continues. Everything begets something else, and so the learning doesn't stop just because you finished a tractate or just because we're taking a break, whatever it is. There's always something to be learned. There's always something to be listened to again, and we do this. Then we say, may the words of Torah, Lord our God, be sweet in our mouths and in the mouths of all your people, so that we, our children, and all your children, of whom the house of Israel may come to love you and want to study your Torah on its own merit. Through your commandments, I am wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. May my heart be filled with your laws in order that I do not despair. May I never forget your laws, for by them I am kept alive. Blessed are you, God, who teaches me your laws. Amen, 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 Selah, forever. In Hebrew, it is a beautiful prayer, right? Ha'arevna Adonai Eloheinu divrei Torahtecha befinu uvefifiyot עמך בית ישראל ונהיה אנחנו ותצאנו ותצא עמך בית ישראל כולנו יודעי שמך ולומדי תורתך לשמה מאויבי איתך כמני מצוותך כי עולם היא לי יהי ליבי תמין בחוקתך למען לא אבוש לעולם לא אשכח פיקודך כי בם חייתני ברוך אתה אדוני למדני חוקך אמן 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 סלע ועד. Then there is a prayer of gratitude that is very interesting. And it goes like this. We are thankful before you, God, our God and God of our ancestors, that you have made our portion from among those who sit in the house of study, and you have not made our portion from among those who sit idle. For we wake up early, and they wake up early. We wake early for words of Torah, and they wake up early for idle words. We strive, and they strive. We strive and receive reward, and they strive and do not receive reward. We race, and they race. We race towards the afterworld, and they race towards destruction, as it says, and you, God, will bring them down to destruction. Men of blood and deceit will not live out half... Men of blood and deceit will not live out half their lives, and I will trust in you. While we often say compare and despair, we also have to remember that we have an opportunity to look at what we've done and what we're doing, and like I said about the transition, and make meaning out of it. The sort of that it can look the same thing, we can do the same thing, but our intention around it changes everything. So while this prayer is a little harsh, the idea behind it still remains the same, that we have to consider what we're doing and seeing, can we make it into something positive? Can we make it into something that has meaning for us? Can we wake up for words of Torah and service and connection and compassion and really fill our day with things that are full of meaning? And then lastly, may it be your will, God, my God, that as you have helped me finish this podcast, thus you will help me begin another podcast, another book or something, and finish them to learn and to teach, to protect and fulfill all the words of your Torah with love. May the merit of all the Tanaim and Amoraim and scholars stand with me and for my progeny, so that the Torah does not leave my mouth and the mouths of my descendants forever. And may it be filled through me. When you walk, it will guide you. When you lie down, it will protect you. And when you wake, it will converse with you. For in me, the Torah, your days will increase, the years of life will be added for you. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, wealth and honor. God will give strength. God will bless God's nation with peace. So, of course, whenever I say God for everybody, right? God of your own understanding, that's important. Stand in for whatever it is you think is standing in for good and for what the universe brings to us. And this last little prayer, of course, right, is sort of our ability to make sure that what we learn, what we experience together allows us to find meaning, allows us to sort of to protect us, to teach us, to converse with us. All the things that sort of we learn and we think about are important for our own growth, to always know that there's always space to grow more, to do more, to be able to connect it to the next thing. So how do we say goodbye? Well, saying goodbye means that sort of you have to acknowledge the moment, acknowledge your feelings. Maybe it is see you later, lehitraot. Maybe it is goodbye forever. But like all transition, it is only as powerful and meaningful as you make it to be. The body, the soul will go through it, but the way to really be able to benefit from all of it, including the sadness, the grief, the loss of things, is to make sure that you are aware of it, to not hide it, to not suppress it. Because if we suppress it, if we don't acknowledge it, then it will oppress us. It will find its way out without our own sovereignty. And when we are trying to live a life of meaning, all these transitions, as we look at them, as we give them meaning, as we acknowledge them, as hard as that might be, in the end, they actually are, like I said, an investment in our spiritual bank account. It gives us strength and sovereignty. And then perhaps the next transition you have, you can say to yourself, I've done this before. I can do this again. I'm stronger than what I maybe think I am. So I will see you all in the fall. I want to thank Ben Lichtman and Grace Sheed, who have been working on this podcast to make it excellent for all of us to sort of be able to end on a high note. Thank you for working on Tattoos and Torah. As always, if you want to hear when we're back and all the other things we're doing, you can sign up for our newsletter, The Gesund, Yiddish for Health. You can do that by going, of course, to tshuvacenter.org, tshuvahcenter.org. You can also find us, of course, on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all the other social media platforms. Thank you so much. I will see you in the fall. As always, you know how to find us. Have a good weekend.